Who here is afraid of the dark?
We got some here who are afraid of the dark. We really all should be. Maybe it changes over time why we're afraid of the dark. I remember when I was a little kid that my mom would turn the light off and close the door, and it seems like all sorts of weird things started happening. The room would be moving, and I would imagine, maybe I just had a really active imagination, but I imagine all kinds of things happening. I couldn't see everything. And why is it that we are afraid of the dark? Well, it's because we can't see. We look, but there's just not much there. And sometimes we may tell our children, well, just wait a minute and your eyes will adjust, right? Have you ever told that to your children? Your eyes will adjust. You'll see a little bit more clearly. Why do we tell them that? Because when we see, we aren't as afraid. When we're in that moment of darkness, whether it's in that bedroom when the lights go off, or whether it's a time of our life, it is a time where there is not much peace. We have lots of anxiety. We have doubts. We have fears. But it's interesting when maybe you're a little kid and you begin crying because you're afraid of the dark, and mom or dad comes in and they flip that light on, suddenly there's peace again, isn't there? We look around and we can see where things are in the room. And that scary little head that looked like it was bouncing outside our window, we realized it was just this branch with some leaves on it. We began to see that we were just disoriented. We weren't seeing things as clearly as we thought we were, and our imagination was working in the dark because we couldn't quite see. And so when that light flipped on, everything has changed, but at the same time, nothing has changed. Right? The only real change is that now there's light when there was darkness. But in that light, we find new perspective. The psalmist says in Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And that's not really where I want to spend our time completely this morning, but I want us to then be led into another verse a little bit later in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." I see some connections here between the word being this lamp or this light that guides us and the reality that if we love the light, if we love the lamp, then we will never stumble. We're going to have this peace. The anxiety is going to go away. We're going to see the path clearly. I've been spending quite a bit of time in Psalm 119 for various reasons, just kind of been stuck there for a few months. And it just interests me all the details and information that I hadn't noticed before. One of those, and this is really the first idea I had, maybe now a couple months ago, when I was looking through Psalm 119, it struck me as David is writing this psalm, and we think of this as being the psalm of the word, right? He's praising the word. He's glorifying the word. The word is so wonderful, and the testimonies of God are so great, and I follow his precepts and his statutes. But repeatedly throughout the entire psalm, what I began to notice is what is assumed in the background of all of this is oppression and affliction. And adversaries that are causing him problems. I'd never noticed that before. Never thought about that very much. And yet in the midst of all of this, the trials and the difficulties in life that we all face and that we will always face, he's able to make this statement toward the end of the psalm, "Great peace have those who love your law." And what I begin to understand and think about is that peace is maybe not so much what we imagine. When we think about peace maybe as being kind of this, that everything is good in life, right? There's no more problems, that everything has had resolution now. And so now we don't have any anxieties, now we don't have any fears, and so everything is wonderful in life. But what I see in the Psalms is that's not what peace really is. Because in David's writing, and actually if you keep reading through the Psalm, Psalm 120 talks about peace. Psalm 121 implies peace, the idea of peace. But in all of there's conflict. There are people who are out to get him. There are people who want war, and yet he wants peace, and he speaks about peace, and he feels peace. So where is this coming from? And what I have to conclude as I read texts like Psalm 119, is this reality that peace, it is not that there is no conflict. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is really just the presence of answers. Isn't that what we find in that room? We flip the light off and we're afraid and we're in the darkness and we can't really see, and the only thing that changes is the lights come on. And what we have are answers. We look around and we see the things that we couldn't see before. Maybe those of us who are a little bit older, it's not that we're maybe afraid of something hiding in our room, but maybe it's that when we walk around, we don't want to kick things and trip over things and hurt ourselves. But now we can walk clearly because the light is on. And so maybe we are afraid of the darkness in a sense because we're worried about what might happen if we walk through that dark room. But we flip the lights on, and now it's not that those things aren't there anymore, but now there are answers. Now we can see. And so I want us to think of that idea of the Word being this lamp or this light that guides us. It provides the answers to life. And think about, what is it about the Word that brings peace? Because David says, great peace have those who love your law. Now notice what he says before this. If you look back with me in verse 150, I want to read some of what leads into this statement in Psalm 119. Verse 150, it says, they draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. You see the conflict? You see the adversaries who are here in David's life? He's not saying great peace because I have the law. Now there's no problems in life. No, it says here that they draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. Verse 153, look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commandments. Consider how I love your precepts and give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. Do you see how conflict, how oppression, even persecution, as he talks about it, is the background of the very statement we've just looked at about peace for those who love the law? It's not that the circumstances are suddenly changing and now all their adversaries go away, all the difficulties they face and all the trials, they suddenly dissipate and aren't there anymore. But what the reality is that the Word provides answers for David. When he looks at the law of the Lord, which he's meditating on day and night, and when he loves the law of the Lord and he's giving attention to it, it gives him these answers that others do not have. And we'll see that here as we work through the psalm and think about some of the things he says about God's words and God's statutes. But how does this word bring peace? I want to give you 3 reasons this morning. And the first of those is that the word offers knowledge. This is very simple. None of these are going to be complex. Knowledge brings peace. I don't know if any of you are like Katie and I, but when we have questions about something, we immediately jump on the computer or we open some books. We begin reading and looking because we want information. Why do we want information? Because it helps calm our minds. Right, once we know the facts, once we know the information, it gives us a sense of peace. Once we know how something's going to happen, maybe you're going to take a trip. Maybe it's a big trip, and you're interested in that itinerary. You want the knowledge. You want the information, because on some level, in some way, it gives you a little bit of peace about how all of this is going to take place. And what we find in this regard is that the light offers knowledge. It gives us information. We flip that light on, and we begin to see where things are. That's knowledge. We look, and we realize what's over here in this corner, and what's in this corner, and where the door is, and that there's nothing in our way to get to the door, and we understand all the things that we couldn't see in the darkness, because now we have this knowledge. And the psalmist talks about knowledge as well. Notice Psalm 119, and verse 49 through 52. If you can navigate through your digital Bible quickly enough, that's fine this morning, but you may want a hardback because we're going to be kind of flipping back and forth, and that can be a little complex in those digital versions through my experience. In Psalm 119, in verse 49, notice what he says here, remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. He knows God's promises. And you'll find often, actually, in the Psalms, that they recount the promises of God. Remember, God, what you said to Abraham. Remember what you said to Isaac and to Jacob. Remember your promise to David. They have the knowledge, they have the information of the promises God has made. In the New Testament, we're told this is the promise he has made to you, eternal life, in 1 John chapter 2. God makes promises. And the psalmist looks at this, he has this information, and he says, remember the words that you gave to me. They give me hope. I have this knowledge. This is a light that's being turned on before me, and I see the difficulties around me, but I have this information, and it gives me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction. Do any of us feel afflicted this morning? Maybe you're dealing with some kind of sickness, or a loved one's dealing with sickness. Maybe you're having issues with your family. Maybe some of your family, they don't understand why you would come here every week. Maybe three times a week. You come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday. Why are you spending your time doing that? Maybe you didn't do that growing up, and they don't quite understand why you would do that, and they make fun of you. They don't understand your way of life and the decisions that you make and what you call sin and what you don't call sin, and they don't understand that, and so they oppress you. They give you a hard time about it. Do we face afflictions? Listen, God makes promises that we can rely on. And whatever it is we're facing and how dire and how difficult it may seem, this can be our comfort. I take comfort, he says, O Lord. It gives him hope. The psalmist avoids sin because of knowledge. Because of the information that God has given him through his word, he avoids some of the temptations and some of the sins that are around him. In verse 61, it says, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. It's in his mind. He has this information. And parents, as our children are growing up and we're working with them, think about how important it is that they're getting scripture in their minds. You notice what David says here? When the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. How important it is to have that recall. To be able in a moment to recall scripture in those times of temptation. Think about Jesus and his temptations. We talk about this, don't we? And that how he responds to the devil is with the word of God itself. It is written, he says. He knows scripture. How important then is it for our young people and for ourselves to be memorizing scripture and to understand scripture and to think and meditate on scripture regularly? The psalmist, he's avoiding sin because of his knowledge. He can recall the promises of God. He can recall what God has told him. And it says, I do not forget your law. I'm pulled in sometimes. I have these temptations, but I don't forget your law. And that sets me at an advantage. And he says, my understanding is greater than my enemies, my teachers, and the aged. Some of you, when I was younger, many of you know this, and many of you experienced similar things maybe in your line of work. I was able to train with an older man. And I'll tell you one of the great benefits of that, and if you've been through something similar, you understand this. Just those few years give you such great experience, give you such information, that it helps you avoid some of the major errors that people sometimes much older than you make because they didn't have that kind of guidance. And that's what I see the psalmist saying here in Psalm 119 in verse 97 beginning. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. He's spending time in the law of God. He's considering the things of God. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I certainly don't want to promote any kind of arrogance or pride, young people, to some of our college students, but I want you to think a little bit about that statement in the middle. I have more understanding than all my teachers. It's not because of who you are, but you have the Word of God. And there is light in the Word of God. There are answers in the Word of God. Sometimes answers that your teachers have not considered. And what the psalmist recognizes is his meditation of the law, his attention to the law, this knowledge that he has through the words of God, it has set him apart. It has made him wiser than his enemies, than his teachers, even than the aged. And so it gives him this sense of peace. Despite the situations that he may face, the enemies that come his way, the afflictions he may have in life, he knows the promises of God. He knows the answers to avoiding temptation and sin. He knows how to interact. He knows how to answer those who taught him, which is the next direction we want to go here. And all of these are going to overlap to some degree. If you imagine maybe some Venn diagrams going on here, and these three terms we're going to talk about, they all overlap. And so you can actually see how the word produces confidence, and that comes through that knowledge. When we have knowledge of Scripture, it's going to then give us confidence about what we see there. And so the word gives peace, not just because it gives us knowledge, but because it produces confidence in us. We realize that God is there for us. We learn some things about God and how he operates and how he works. And so Psalm 119 and verse 140, your promise is well tried and your servant loves it. You know what David's saying? I look at the promises that you make and you deliver. I can trust. I know that you're going to come through. I know that what you tell me is actually going to happen. Go back to that thought in 49 through 52. To remember your words to your servant. They give me hope. Your promises give me hope because I understand you're going to come through on your promises. I take comfort in your rules and in your laws because I know the kind of God you are. That's the information he's been given as he's looking and meditating on the word. And through time and through experience, now he realizes that God is a trustworthy God, that God is a faithful God. So the word, it illuminates. And it gives confidence for his walk of life. You think about that illustration that's given in 105, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Or maybe the illustration I brought up where you're in that room and you flip the light on. And maybe you're in your child's room, those of us parents, you flip the light on and you miss the Legos, right? Before you're worried you're going to step on stuff or trip over toys, but now the lights are on, you can walk with confidence. You see what's there, and that's what the Word does. When we look at the Word and we meditate on the Word and we love the Word, great peace, he says, those who love your law. We remove the anxiety. We remove the fears, despite the conflicts and the afflictions still being there, because we have answers. There's light that drives out the darkness. We have confidence in the power of God. We have answers for those who taunt us. That's what it says in Psalm 119 and verse 42. Those who taunt him, those who give him difficulty. He says, I have an answer for him who taunts me. Why? For I trust in your word. This knowledge has produced confidence. In such a way that he has an answer to the one who is mocking him, to the one who is scoffing at his way of life. He has some answers to that person because he has confidence in God. He doesn't have confidence in the things the world says or what the world has to offer, but he does have confidence in the rules and the laws and the statutes and the precepts of God because he's seen what those have done for his life. He realizes the kind of God that God is, and so he has an answer, whether the person will listen or not. He has an answer for that. And when we have answers, we have peace. It doesn't mean the taunter is going to go away. It doesn't mean the person who's mocking or scoffing is suddenly just going to dissipate and be removed from the situation. But we can have a sense of peace because now we have answers. And so third, the word, the light, provides perspective. How does the word give us peace? Why is it that great peace have those who love your law? Why can David say that? Because the word, it gives us knowledge and it gives us confidence and it gives us perspective. It gives us this experience that we talked about a little bit with the idea of confidence as well. We know that God's going to come through. But this light, it removes the doubts, it removes the fears, it allows us to see things the way they really are rather than the way our mind imagines they will be. When I was younger, I had a friend named Tony, and we often went camping out in my woods. We had 10 acres. 8 of that were wooded. So we'd go out in the woods, especially when we were younger. We would get out there for a little bit, and because we were afraid of the dark, we decided we need to come back. We wouldn't stay all night. We thought we would. We had high hopes. We'd get out there with all the snacks and the drinks, and it was about a half mile from my house. We'd walk out there. But, you know, 1, 2 in the morning, we've been out there quite a while. We start hearing some funny noises. It's time to head back to the house. Well, we have one of those flashlights. Some of you who are older, maybe you remember these, those little, like, beige, tan flashlights you plug into the wall, you know, and they charge up for a little while, and they were always horrible. But we had that thing out there, and we turn that on and begin to walk to the house, and, of course, it's just dead. But, of course, it didn't die while we were right there at the campsite. It died when we were, like, 300 yards, 400 yards away. So now we're out in total darkness with no light. And young people, we didn't have cell phones back then. So you couldn't whip your cell phone out and like use that, okay? This is, you know, toughen it. So, I mean, we're lost. You wouldn't think that 8 acres is all that much. But you're out there in the forest and you're covered. I mean, the trees are covering. We didn't even have very much moonlight. And we can't see anything. So you can imagine we're really doing great now. So we sat there for a minute thinking about what we were going to do. We were trying to go back to the campsite, which we sort of had a sense of direction how to get back there. Are we going to try to go back toward the house? And as we were talking, we looked up and we saw my porch light just off in the distance, just a tiny little glimmer. My parents always left it on, probably because they knew we would come home. This tiny little light, and I said, I think that's my porch light. And if it's not ours, it's our neighbor's. You have to understand, in my neighborhood in Vermont, that our neighbor, we didn't live like next to each other. The closest neighbor was like half a mile away, so that could be dangerous too. We end up way over here, and now we got to try to find our way back. But I was pretty sure this was our porch light. And here's what happened. Even though this light, it's just dim, it's in the distance, we just made our way toward that light. Slowly, so that we didn't trip and fall over branches or pine needles or whatever else was there on the ground. We slowly made our way and we came to the edge of the forest and boom, the light's there and there's my house. Just that little bit of light. And maybe you feel this morning that that light is just in the distance for you. It's not that full illumination that maybe we talk about, that the light is this lamp to our feet, the word is a lamp, or it's a light to our path. Maybe it's not quite that for you yet, but maybe you can see that glimmer of light in the distance. And what I'm asking you this morning is to follow that light, to see that little glimmer, if that's where you are, and to realize that's the direction you need to go. Are you afraid of the dark? Come to the light. Come to Jesus Christ. In fact, he invites you. In Matthew chapter 11, the end of that text, verse 28, this is what he says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. And he wants you to follow him. And maybe you look at your life right now and you feel like I'm just in complete darkness. I've made so many mistakes and so many errors. I don't even know if I know the right way. I'm just lost out here. This is the glimmer in the distance. There's an answer. Maybe you feel like there's no peace in your life. You have anxiety. You have fear. The word is a light. It is a lamp. Begin to meditate. Begin to give attention to the word, just as David does. And I assure you, you'll see the same results that he is talking about in Psalm 119. Great peace have those who love your Lord. They will not stumble. If you help this morning, maybe you need to come to Jesus Christ and give your life and be baptized into Christ. Put him on in baptism and come up in newness of life, ready to follow him and walk in the light as he's in light. It could be that you've done that in the past, but you realize you're not walking in the light. You've gotten off the trail. You're in darkness. And you see this little glimmer. Don't wait till you can't see the glimmer anymore. Come back now. We want to help you any way we can. Why don't you come now as we stand and we sing.